It's the Alternative F1 podcast. They said go to Portugal, and Portugal we shall go. It's the Portimão weekend in the Formula One calendar. I'm Matthew Connell with Andre Dixon as ever, joined again by Steph and Ariana. Gang,
hey.
How are you all doing?
Very well.
Good. Yeah, glad to be back with you guys.
Yes, hell indeed, and another F1 weekend.
We've missed you.
This is it. It's a new tradition. Whenever we've got an F1 weekend coming up, then we just have to call it in the Driven by Diversity squad, as always. So good to have you guys there. And guys, if you don't follow them, hit up Driven by Diversity. Give them a little look at their podcast. They drop regular episodes. Very, very good content to be seen and heard. And of course, head over to Alternative Sport. Head over to Verge Magazine, hit subscribe if you feel like doing it. And guess what? Hit subscribe even if you don't feel like following, because you never notice subscriptions anyways, like I do, all the random stuff I follow. So be a supporter, be a lover, be a friend. But of course, this podcast couldn't be possible without Natural Barber Company. Of course, the guys that make my hair look good when I choose not to wear a hat. But as always, it is free of synthetics, free of petrochemicals and other harmful ingredients that irritate the skin. And of course, the Tottenham legend, Gareth Bale, calls it his go-to hair product. So you're mad to give it a miss. And of course, get on that. Get use of this code that gets you 25% off free next day delivery in the UK using AltSport25. That's right, guys, 25% off. So get on that, AltSport25. You're a madman not to do it. Visit naturalbarber.co. And the irony of all this, I'm wearing a hat, so I'm hiding off my bonnet once again, being very lazy. But guess what? It doesn't matter. I've got my colorful jacket on. We've got good vibes. There's a lot of rumors, guys, going on in the F1 world. I don't even know where to start. We have been very lucky that we time these episodes to perfection, but we need to dissect this. Guys, we are losing Grosjean and Magnussen. What is going on? Are we sad? Are we happy?
I think that it was bound to happen. It was a matter of time. And if Haas are headed in the direction of bringing in fresh blood from F2, then I'm here for it.
Yeah,
I think it'd be good to get some new faces in and just switch things up a little bit.
I thought it would be a more financial thing. Sorry. Go on.
I was going for the ladies first. Dre is opinionated today. He is ready.
What about all
go on, Dre. Go into it, buddy. Get hit in there.
Should I go in?
Take the stage.
I mean, my take in it is that I thought, first of all, it's going to be a financial situation because obviously I don't think that Magnussen is bringing in as much money as Grosjean. So I thought that obviously there's going to be, if they were to let him, and plus as well, they don't seem to get on. I think there's always a spark and he's always moaning over the radio. So I think at some point you just get tired of the person and just thinking, okay, well, you know what, it's not like you're moving us forward in any form of way. A couple of seasons ago, yes, but not now. So I was thinking that Machico was going to go there, but because obviously he brings so much money in, and then it takes less of a strain on Gene Haas. But I was quite surprised that both of them went. It's just like, oh, okay, well, we are fully pressing the reset button. So I was quite surprised about that.
I mean, this is the thing. They've also been quite a fixture of Drive to Survive and their kind of internal battle. So what I think is going to happen is we get the next series of Drive to Survive and everyone's going to go, oh, we missed those guys. But I think it's safe to say that maybe, respect them as drivers have been very important to F1. But yeah, a refresh. Am I being harsh, Steph? Is that fair? Is it?
Well, we've discussed this a couple of episodes ago, didn't we? Where we had some of the F2 boys coming in for tests and we weren't sure whether they were going to be taking one of those seats. I'm not surprised there's a bit been a changed up, but I am surprised that both of them have gone. I was expecting one of them for sure. I thought they would have kept one of them for kind of like experience and handholding of the new driver. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as we've said before as well, like they have been there such a long time. I think it was Grosjean's been there since the beginning, and then Magnussen since the second season of when Haas have been in F1. So they're due a change, I think. They want to look like rock stars, as Gunther Steiner says.
Yeah.
So the only way to do that is to change it up, I guess, if they've fallen off the road a little bit.
I guess it's one of those things where it's almost easier to clear a headache by just saying goodbye to both of them rather than going, which one should we drop here? But I don't feel like it's all doom and gloom. It's been rumors that maybe Grosjean could look into the Formula E world, liking social media comments in and around that. And you know what? There's a lot of great drivers in there, from Buemi to Felipe Massa. So, and having seen Formula E, it's deadly competitive. Like, it's a very, very fun. It's a very, very fun setup there. And I, you know, it would cure the itch by all means for any of these F1 races that are, you know, seemingly to drop out of the F1 calendar for next year. But of course, you know, I feel for Romain Grosjean. Of course, he's been very important in almost the within this anti-racism movement. Of course, he's been very involved in t-shirt designs and whatnot, and has been very vocal in supporting Kevin Magnussen. It's maybe is the more forgettable of the two for myself. I'm sorry, K-Mac, big respect. We've shared a flight back from the Mexican Grand Prix once. That's as close as I've got to the K-Mac. Horrible flight. I genuinely, this is actually quite a fun story. We, on a flight back from the Mexican Grand Prix about 2 years ago, I've never, ever experienced turbulence like it in my life. I like turbulence. I like the drama of flying.
You like it.
But it was so bad. That, and there was all the F1 British commentary team on there. I remember seeing K-Mag waiting next to us in line, and the plane rocked so hard that the woman next to me in her sleep grabbed my hand instead of her boyfriend's hand. It was that bad. By the way, we just went like
oh my gosh,
that's not for me.
Asia, US, wherever, and the turbulence was so intense. And she grabbed my hand and looked at me and went, I'm sorry, and then went to her boyfriend. And I thought, there's no way I can die in this flight because I'm on a flight with F1 drivers. It can't happen. So that's what I always do. I just think, it's impossible. It's impossible. Of course, you know, K-Mag was sad to see him go. F1 social media has been teeing up the rumor mill with the graphic, the same Perez. Is it Hulk? Schumacher, of course, last time we were talking about an Alfa Romeo switch, but is it just a more logical move? Callum Ilott, Schwartzman, Mazepin as well, the Russian getting involved in there. So a lot of names running around. I think Grosjean has been, I feel like also, we'll come on to the rumour mill of who should take the seats, but I feel like Romain has taken it well. He's been very emotional, very French with the end, very visual. I feel like there's a bit of an emo in here. And he hasn't been quiet. He also commented, I think it was on Twitter I saw, he said, wow, this is my first image that has over 100,000 likes. What are you guys trying to say? And I was like, bye, Grant Roman. See you later, mate. I mean, what do we reckon? What names do you reckon we want to see in there?
It's a bit awkward, isn't it?
it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. I think I would probably say one of the F2 boys, just because I like to see the fresh talent, a little bit of a switch up and see where that'll take Haas.
Yeah, I want to see some of the F2 guys in there. At least one of the seats, I think, should go to one of them. And like you said, I think it will be a financial choice as well. As they've said, they're looking at Mazepin because of the money that he can bring in. So I think that we'll probably see a debut from him.
Yeah, I think so too. My money's on Mazepin.
Yeah. Here we go, Dre. Are we going to go over the Russian money? Or are we going to try and get the Callum Ilott, the Schwartzman, or the Schumacher? If you were to pick an F2 guy, Dre, who would you like to see in there?
I think, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think that it will be a strategic move to move quick to get a big name like Schumacher or someone like that. Because if they know they've got a solid drive, you know, for the season, and they're after the kick in the heels, then they'll definitely, obviously, they're going to be picking experience. So if I was them, I definitely would be going, you know, for one of the big names from F2. But you know what, like, now we've got to a stage where we don't know what's going on.
So no one knows.
I'm still shocked. Like, I'm still frozen in time in when I first saw that they're both leaving. I was like I just don't get this this new plot. So we will see what happens in this new episode of the F1.
Well, this is a good thing. I think for Schumacher, he's got great options, of course, being part of the Ferrari Academy. He's got options there. Whether he goes to Alfa Romeo or Haas, then it's great. So those works teams are benefiting greatly from that. Another thing as well, I think we have to look at that. If Kvyat doesn't have a seat next year, then all the sponsorship money on Mazepin will be a masterstroke, and the Russian nation being represented in that sense. So all to be seen, all to be found out.
Can I just, ask a quick question to you guys, actually, just on top of my head. If you're gonna choose between, you know, Alfa Romeo and Haas, who do you think is actually more ambitious? You know, if you had a choice of the two, who would you choose? So I know this is like off the cuff.
That's a great question.
It's a good question, and one that I've not actually thought of before.
That's a tricky one.
Steph gave me that's a good question.
I would go many answers. If I had a choice, I'd go.
Probably Haas, I would say, just off the car.
Would you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd go Alpha. I feel like Haas, I would be worried by how they've handled dysfunction in the past. And I feel Alpha would be a much more steadier thing. And plus, if you like media opportunities, you want to get your name out there, don't worry, Kimi's not going to be taking up much of your time. So,
yeah, it depends who your teammate is, right?
You can have it. It's fine.
Exactly. Exactly. So the options are out there. So good luck to them. There's a lot going on. There's a lot for us to figure out. So, of course, as ever, if you've seen us four in action before in this podcast, we like those burning topics. We like to figure out, to divulge and understand what the heck is going on in the F1 world. So, of course, Dre, Ariana and Steph, pre-show have picked out a topic that is worth discussing, or we feel is very important to discuss. So what I do off the bat, we'll pick someone at random to have a go. So, Ariana, what has been troubling you this week in the world of F1?
Well, like we just said, silly season is in full swing and there's been lots of speculation recently. And one of the newest rumours is that Sergio Perez is going to replace George Russell at Williams.
What?
Okay, your faces. Steph is like, yeah, I know that.
He's our guy, not another Brit.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's the freshest rumour. Obviously, Perez is out of a seat after he was ditched for Vettel for what will be Aston Martin Racing. And, you know, there's no denying he's a good driver. He's had some strong performances. So naturally, everyone's been like, well, where will he land? And Williams, they're under new ownership now. Of course, they do have a confirmed lineup of Russell and Latifi. But the new owners might be looking around a little bit, see what their options are, see whether they can get some new funding. As we said, everyone's always looking at the financial aspect as well. So apparently Perez is on the horizon and he comes with funding, trusted pair of hands, got experience in the game. Might be a good option. He said that he'll be able to let us know more soon, hopefully. Very vague there. But George Russell has said, no, like, I'm not concerned. I'm going to be driving with Williams next year. Haven't had any conversations. But who knows? That's the question. Will he? And do you guys think that Perez deserves the seat? Or do you think he should stay with George? And if Perez does go there, then where does that leave George? Wow. So many questions.
Okay. There's a lot of questions. So this makes a racing point discussion very interesting as well now, because of the seats are up for grab. Aston Martin seats are up for grabs. Okay, wow. I'm shocked to the core. George Russell is a driver that we all know as the British audience. We know the potential was there. We know that he is a driver that has shown, whether it's been in his virtual streams, that he understands those tracks really well. Qualifying has been much, much better, much improved this year. Now, maybe George has a reason to be quietly confident in that scenario if he was to be shifted on from Williams. Of course, without Claire Williams there and that change, the house ain't going to feel the same. And that gives him an opportunity to then maybe look at what is out there in the grid. Openings are quite limited. I thought Perez would have been a great fit for Haas because of his experience and having that balance of someone that is, you know, if we were all, as we're thinking, have someone from F2 come through.
Yeah.
But oh my God, Perez for George Russell was the ultimate swap. That is like, I don't even know where to start.
I'm still taking it in.
I think that was like when we were talking earlier about the Haas seats, that I just sort of concentrated on the F2 boys, because in my head, from all of these rumours, Perez is going to Williams, but then yesterday George comes out, as you say, and just shuts those rumours down, which you kind of would have to go with him. You know, that's what he's saying contractually. He's with them.
But remember, that's what Perez was saying, and then Vettel came and swooped in.
Yes.
So
exactly. So that's
in the contract too.
I think he needs to speak to the Williams team.
You should have a conversation.
I do think that there's a bit of young naivete from George, because the end of the day is that, you know, it's cutthroat. You know, the situation is that the money talks.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that there's going to be a change in culture from Williams, because obviously they've got new ownership and these guys ain't coming in there just to make up the numbers. So I think that, you know, it's an aggressive move. It actually, you know, helps them financially to be able to get Perez in. And then Perez is no slouch as well.
Great driver.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's, Latifi obviously is there. I mean, not saying he's rubbish, but he's there learning his...
He's bringing finances as well, though.
Steph's trying to set me up here.
I didn't say anything.
She was like... I think he's learning... Latifi's learning his trade, but obviously he comes with big financial backing. So, George, I think, to be honest, you may be there, but it don't mean you'll be driving.
But this is the thing, isn't it? If you're this is the thing, right? With Formula One, and if you're a casual to the sport, the money talks. Money talks. And this is the thing. You might look on a racing level and you might say, well, Latifi, it's not really delivering the goods, but if he's bringing in the finances behind the scenes to keep such a smaller team running, guess what? You're going to run with that. And that's the power of the business. That's the nature of the beast. You know, there's one thing not getting results, but if you can't even run a team and you're going to lose jobs, and then look, I get it. I mean, I don't get it because I love to see George do his thing, but it makes it, you know, sure.
Next, where can he get exactly?
Well, this is the thing. It's like, oh, of course, it's Mercedes connections. What happens there? Because the Mercedes seats look virtually covered. Is there some way that, for example, the most out there thing would be, well, guess what? Red Bull could replace Albon with a George Russell. And then we could have the ironic twist of AlphaTauri. We could have Pierre Gasly and Albon now next to each other. What a balance and battle that could be. But exactly where can George go that will be competitive? That will be the question going into these remaining races. And it'll be interesting to see. One, you know, with the, of course, these are still rumors, guys. I don't want you guys to feel like we're here out.
Yeah, don't worry. Nothing could come of it.
This isn't Sky Sports. Exactly. This is the thing.
But if I'll say, Matt, this is that if you are, because I'm in my head, I was just like literally going through the teams and going, which one, the roundabout. I would say that if you are AlphaTauri, you got to start making the decisions here. Like, how long are you going to stick with Danny Kvyat? Like, we'll see.
But they're looking at some of the FT drivers as well, remember? Yeah, they're looking at
but if you've got a chance, with George in that car, you know.
I want more teams. You know what we need? I want more teams because there's so many good names out there that aren't even a part of the group. You know, that's
we are in a bit of a situation this year where we actually have drivers that really would be great to see next year, but there's just not the seats for them. We've got Hulkenberg as well, obviously, who's come and made his guest appearances, but
Hulk needs the seats. And I think this is, you know, it's almost like an end of season thing at football. It's like, look, teams cut the dead weight, the drivers aren't really bringing much excitement. Sorry, Giovinazzi, but there we go. See you later. This is it. We're ruthless. We're not Sky Sports News. We were allowed to say what we feel like. And Giovinazzi, cool. Thank you very much. Good effort. Grosjean and Magnussen, there's more time spent battling each other than rather than battling in and around him. Kimi, I feel, is holding up in a necessary seat for someone that just, look, bless him, he doesn't want to leave the sport. I get it. He loves the sport. But, you know, come on, dude. Make some space.
Out. See ya.
Get out of here. Free up some seats. We've got Perez in limbo. We've got George in limbo. We've got Seb with his new place. We've got Alonso joining.
It's crazy.
Silly season is insanity season. As far as I'm concerned, we've got a lot going on. But look, a solid topic to kick us off. It's got us all warmed up and all heated. Can it get any more heated possibly? Steph, it's over to you.
So this one is a bit of a controversial topic that's come up in the F1 news this week. So it's regarding the FIA's driver steward choice for this week for Portimão, so for the Portuguese Grand Prix. And it is Vitaly Petrov, so obviously ex-F1 driver. But he has made some strange comments in the past.
That's very politely put.
Yeah, diplomatic step.
Strange.
And I'm just going to read out what he said for context for anyone listening that isn't familiar with the situation. Mm-hmm. So speaking to a Russian sports news site, he said, "Honestly, I don't understand the kneeling ceremony. According to our traditions, people kneel only on two occasions, in a temple before God and when you propose to your future wife. With this gesture, they are trying to draw attention to the fight against racism. Russia has a different mentality, and we don't have such a problem that Hamilton talks about. There should be respect for every person, but I think that then it is necessary to think over everything more globally to create some kind of organisation for funding. I think half of the audience did not understand at all what this shirt was about until it was explained." And there he's referencing the Breonna Taylor shirt that Hamilton wore on the podium. And then he finishes with, "And what if one of the drivers confesses to being gay and will go out with a rainbow flag and urge everyone to become gay? There can be a lot of examples."
Well, there you go. Welcome to the world of F1, Dre. This is the thing, yeah, like, typical, there's a lot of, I know a lot of good people out in Russia, but it's still a country that is still getting of the time, still understanding. God forbid they have a rainy and a sunny day all in one, because when they see a rainbow in the sky, they're going to be frightened. They're not going to know what's going on. Now, look, it's...
Yeah, so the thing with this is that Hamilton's come out and said he is surprised with the FIA's choice of driver steward for this race because, obviously, of Petrov's recent comments, and it doesn't sit well with F1's current We Races One campaign. So, you know, the question here is, do we just not look at, you know, that side of things when making decisions for stewards? Because obviously they're there because they've got the experience, the expertise, you know, they know all about like the technical side of things, regulations, etc. They're there to do that job, disregarding everything else. Or do we take everything into account? And if someone is making comments like that, that are a bit, you know, controversial and not in line with, you know, what F1 is trying to portray or be, do we need to take that into account?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is the thing, right? And I feel strongly about this because, look, Formula One is a huge, huge company. It's a huge company. There's a lot of departments, a lot of managers, a lot of people to make decisions that will have someone else on the other end of that spectrum might have no impact, no say in doing. So I understand from a huge corporation of a lot of decision makers, yes, it could be an oversight, but I think this also exposes what I fear will happen in the current climate of all these messages, all these hashtags, all these kind of wearing t-shirts. It's like, there's one thing to support and spread the word and say that a lot of injustices are wrong, which they rightfully are. Now, of course, we can't gag people from their free speech and say that, okay, that isn't, you know, you're not allowed to say that. Dude, you can say whatever you want. Mm. You know, it's like, if we're not, I think us as people, sports, friendship, work, we all have to agree. We don't have to be so bipartisan. So say what you got to say and be at least consistent to your character. I think that's the most important thing. It's dangerous for Formula One in a sense that, okay, they've gone very strongly with this messaging, but then this exposes the kind of the trapdoor when the big corporate companies get behind a message and a movement without following through. There should be someone that says, right, we're a phone call away from saying, well, this isn't very fitting. And I think Lewis, it isn't Lewis Hamilton show. This isn't Lewis Hamilton's F1 series.
Yeah.
Well, he is right to speak about it and say that, you know, this isn't really representative of our sport. And I think that's what's really important. It's all good doing the hashtags, you know, all the messaging, all the races won stuff. But really, you should follow through deeper than that. It's not right to say, you know, the Russian approach to things in that kind of context is it's still developing, and fine, that's for them to adjust to and sort out. I think F1 have kind of dropped the ball here. And look, it's not like we're saying witch hunt, oh my god, this is like a despicable thing, rid of his job, but a bit more,
yeah, because he's essentially he's a representative for the FIA,
yeah,
you know, who are running a similar kind of campaign at the moment, and obviously there he is at a Formula One race, so essentially a representative of Formula One on behalf of the FIA.
I don't think Petrov really understands how being gay works. It's not like someone becomes gay and then suddenly says, hey guys, I'm gay, you have to be gay. Got a lot of gay friends and none of my gay friends are telling me to be gay. You know, like, what? Well, I'm repping an Adidas Pride jacket because guess what? Of course we want to represent the scene. It doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, bi, trans, whatever. It's like, come on. What?
Yeah.
You're worried that someone's going to tell you. It's crazy.
I think it's a little bit tone deaf from the FIA.
Possibly.
I know they've come out and said that, you know, we hire people based off of their skill, off of their experience, and we don't discriminate based on their views outside of that function. But it's a little bit tone deaf. I mean, those comments aren't really great, are they? They're not great comments, not in the midst of what we're going through at the moment. And it just is attention on that topic that they didn't need and that they shouldn't have wanted. Like, that's not what you want your press conferences with Lewis Hamilton being about, again bringing this in to the forefront, and again not really great in a great way. It's tone deaf, to say the least.
And Lewis isn't one to make noise and make complaints out of nowhere. Like, this is a level-headed, reasonable guy. So if he feels like something's kind of off the wrong touch, then of course, rightfully, he is one, and many others should be brave. I think that's another thing. I think this is part of Lewis's battle. It's like, I haven't seen all the comments in and around it since. The only one I've really heard is Lewis. I'm not sure if I've missed anyone else speaking out about it. But this is what we're up against. This is what you guys do a podcast for. It's what we do our show for. It's, you know, this is it. Formula One is a diverse sport. It's bad enough that all the crazy white guys at the top of F1 and the former has-beens have been saying all kinds of crazy stuff about gender and whatnot. It's tiring. Come on, F1. Get behind it. It's Petrov can just shut his mouth. Dre, what do you think about that?
No, I shouldn't be surprised in this day and age with people's stupidity. And it's just like, I never understand, like, you know, how people can actually just come out with things like that on that platform, which is just so thick, to be honest with you. Like, I never will understand or have tolerance for it. But what I'm surprised at is that, you know, that I don't think that the whole weight of it should just be on F1, because obviously that's one of their
problems. Yeah.
They could deal with that internally. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to get him to apologise before the race. I would assume that that's going to happen, or for him to clarify it in some type of way. But I do think the teams should be coming out with stuff like automatically. Anything that is racist or homophobic or anything that is against anyone, any hate speech in any form of way, accidentally or on purpose, should just be zero tolerance from all the teams. Because that speaks louder than anything else. So there's too much, like, mixed messaging, and then it's passing the buck to F1. And to be honest with you, like, F1 can only do so much. You know, I know I'm flying the corporate flag here, but it's just like, I just think that, to be honest with you, like, with the messaging that they've put out, stuff that they've been doing just even before the actual the pandemic happened, and before the protests with George Floyd and so forth happened. Absolutely. You know, they've been quite supportive. You know, pushing, you know, the boundaries to be able to get new people involved, just all of these things that they were doing anyway under Liberty's leadership. But I just think that it's too much to be able to ask them to be able to control every single idiot that's there. But it should be treated corporately. That at the end of the day, someone said that in a normal corporate job, then they would be suspended or
reprimanded, you know, at least,
something. You can't say those types of things. Like, it's idiotic, but at the end of the day, is that any element of doubt when it comes to actually race results or punishments or anything, you know, during the race, you have to know that that person's not coming in it from a biased point of view. Lewis has to know that this guy is not going to come give him a penalty for any other reason that it's for what he's broken a rule on there. Not, okay, he's broken a rule, I'm going to give him 10 seconds for no reason at all. Well, not no any reason at all, but give him the harshest penalty. Like, those types of things that we have to eradicate so we can actually enjoy the sport.
Well, this is the thing, like, at the end of the day, we're all free speech, but we also have the freedom of our speech and saying that was super tone deaf and stupid of Petrov for an international sport. We don't want it. And let's not let one idiot's comments ruin all the hard work everyone else has done. There's a lot of great people in F1 and beyond, and the drivers that are campaigning for change. And, you know, like, with all world issues that go on, there's a lot more that happens behind the scenes than someone just tweeting support and putting stuff on Instagram. There's a lot of people doing things without us being seen and making great and unselfish things with our finances. So kudos to F1 to managing the storms and putting out the fires where they can. Petrov, good luck to you this weekend. You know, just, you know, tone deaf dude, whatever. It's what it is. It's not the first, it's not the last. This is the world we're in. It's 2020. There's a lot more shocks to be coming up. Of course, even NASA's got an announcement about the moon. God knows what that's going to be about that coming up soon. So not even the planet, the whole the universe. It's got all kinds of news left, right, and center. But Dre, let's take it over to you, buddy. What have we got on your mind of this week?
Well, separately, I mean, obviously, as you guys know, I just found out about this situation, which doesn't help the question I was going to ask, which is, are the drivers that choose not to take a knee before the race undermining Formula One's anti-racism campaign? What do you guys think?
Boom, short and sweet topic there from Dre. Driven, yeah. I want to throw this to Driven to diversity again, because of course you guys have had lots of very compelling conversations with different people at the backgrounds, and of course it's something very close to your heart. Of course, now we're deep into the season, we've seen all kinds of different reactions, and Lewis, again, awesome dude, has been very vocal on how it's been approached.
Yeah.
The question framed by Dre, what's our thoughts?
It's a difficult one. I think that it doesn't reflect well when pretty much every other sport has been able to be in unity in their gesture, which is often kneeling. It doesn't look great. Can't really sugarcoat that. I know everyone has their own individual reasons for why they are kneeling or not kneeling. Again, everyone's free to do as they wish. It would be nice to see unity. I think it would be good. It would be a powerful message. But we can't make people do things that they're not comfortable with, whatever reasons it might be. I think that, like you said before, the most important thing is that there's genuine action behind whatever gesture the individual chooses, whether that's kneeling or not. You know, there might be people kneeling who are doing less than the people standing behind the scenes. What's most important is that you're sincere in whichever gesture you choose and that your motive is the same. But yeah, a bit of unity would be nice. But
let me put another layer on this.
Before, go on then.
Before Seth, I'm gonna
make it harder for me.
No. I mean, look, this is my take, because the reason I kept it short, because I just wanted to kind of get, obviously, we all know we pretty much are in sync with what we believe in. Otherwise, we wouldn't be on this podcast together. But what I do think is this, is that I think I'm going to separate this. I'm not an accompany man in any form of way, but like, I think that Formula One have done, before this stuff has happened, which to their credit, have opened doors to all of us, to be able to make us feel welcome, give us an access to be able to, to drivers, experience like the most amazing things that regular fans, don't get to experience. So that was before the pandemic, and then again, the protests. Now, I can't say that they can do much more than obviously corporate messaging to make sure that everyone's in the same line. Obviously, I know Lewis does his own thing. Asking the drivers to be able to, stand for a photo up before. But what I think messes things up is that again, it's like you do look at, and I'm being honest, you do look at certain drivers who just say, oh, I, you know, it's something I'm not prepared to do without any more of an explanation. A little bit funny, you know. So I do look at Kvyat a bit differently. I do look at Verstappen a bit differently, you know, because the end of the day is that their explanations haven't been, you know, enough for me. It's not that they have to justify anything to me or anyone else, mm-hmm. because obviously they have a right to be able to do what they want to do. But I do feel that if you are against it and you're not just, you know, you're not just reading the corporate speech because you want to drive, I think you have to show a little bit more, like I would say, like Charles Leclerc, who literally goes out of his way as much as he possibly can. I won't get into the politics with Ferrari because obviously that's a whole different bag. But I just feel that I don't feel like you've got to do something to show that you care, even if it's kneeling is against your you know, your morals or values from your country or whatever it is that Kvyat says. But there's not enough explanation why you're not doing it. And I think it shows unity. It cancels out the idiots in there that would be watching this podcast. And I'll just talk about racing and stop moaning and stop going on about the same stuff again and again. It's to get that old way of thinking out and encourage new, which is what we do, encourage new people from all different races, you know, and sexual preferences, you know, now that we've got put this on there as well now because of that idiot, to be able to watch this sport that we love and be inclusive and get more people, more women, you know, drivers should be coming through, all of these types of things. And it's, this sport has to be careful because obviously at Alt Sport, you know, as you know, we cover a various amount of sports, and this one here feels like the one that's, you know, dragging its heels behind. So, Steph, I'll give it to you, but I just feel that, you know, what do you feel that the teams and the drivers should do? Because there's a bit mixed messaging when it comes to, you know, Verstappen not kneeling and then his team behind him are. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I totally hear everything that you're saying. I agree with everything that Arianna has said on with regards to, you know, everything that she said in response to your question or your topic. It's difficult because whilst we would want to see everyone act in solidarity, in unity, unfortunately you can't make someone do something, even if their team is doing it. Like, as you said, we're all in sync, you know, we know what we would do, but it's a personal choice. But I agree that, you know, it doesn't look great when people, you know, are doing it from your team, but you're not. And, you know, you've got like five people behind you in the driver's line standing up and some are kneeling and whatever. But it, as Arianna said, it goes further than that in showing the action behind it. So as long as that is carried out, to be honest, that is all that I care about, that there is that action. And it's so frustrating because at the end of the day, you are not going to change everyone, unfortunately. But it's, you know, the people that are getting that message out and continuing that conversation, that's what's important, because eventually, hopefully in the future, it will become more of like second nature, and more, you know, a more inclusive environment. And that's the ultimate aim. And hopefully with time that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a hard thing, isn't it? It's a hard thing because the opportunity to really show that universal unity, obviously that moment has passed, which is a shame. And you can only hope that what messages they support and put out there are followed up as a role model. This is a tricky thing with sports stars and athletes and celebrities. It's like you choose a career path, you choose to act, you choose to suddenly, or you happen to suddenly be very good at driving or very good at football. It's just a career choice based on basically your hobbies. So it's a tricky thing on an understanding level that they're not born into it to then become politicians and be the saviors of our worlds. I think that's a very tricky thing when we start depending on people on the case of they have an audience. So I think that's something that we all have to respect and understand. And this is when I first saw Charles Leclerc not kneel straight away. I personally felt really bothered by that because I thought, you know, obviously it's great that Charles has said what he actively is doing behind the scenes, and he was actually the first to explain himself which in great respects, you know, it takes, you know, I'm in this ruthless social world, it takes bravery to be able to put yourself out there and say that. But I definitely felt when Charles and Neil, I took it personally, having met him and worked with him numerous times, I definitely felt this is a guy that's engaged with the modern world. Now, again, that doesn't mean they have to be role models. Again, it is hard for us to expect everything. But again, I, regardless of Lewis is the number one driver in F1, if he's British, if he's black, anything, I would have loved to see that unity like NASCAR would have had with the Bubba Watson stuff. Even if it turned out to be not so much a hoax, but a, you know, a confusion in a sense, but a relevant reaction for those that obviously forgot about the story where they thought there was a noose found in Bubba Watson's garage. It turned out it was part of a garage door call that had always been there. Nevertheless, in that current climate, it still looked like a noose. It caused a reaction and it sparked unity. Now, even if that was just once, that would have been great for F1. It would have been, you know, if we were sadly looking on a corporate level, it's a great poster moment. F1 missed an opportunity. But you're right, we can't force people to do what they don't feel like doing. There's people that beliefs are still very out there. Petrov is a very good example of like still catching up. Don't worry, mate, you're about 20, 30 years behind, but you might get there one day. And that's it. It's like, this is, again, this, I think this becomes beyond a sport thing. This is really the shape of the world.
Yeah.
Everything is so divided. Yeah.
Matt, I think that what I would say is this, sorry to cut you, but what I think is this, is that visually, if you look at like the pictures that happened before, obviously I think it was less people before. I think that someone else is, I can't remember who has joined in. So it's another person who shows intolerance. Is it Magnussen?
Okay, I think so.
Well, good. I'm glad he's out then. But I think that what happens is that in particular, like with Magnussen doing that shows the intolerance. It allows people that are choosing, and it's a choice, to be ignorant, because you could just shut up and be quiet and just like, you know, be like, all right, okay, I'm going to respectfully observe what they're doing. I'm here for the race. I'll give them space to be able to do what they do. But then what you're going to do is that if you get up and you choose to be like, oh, I'm tired of this now, other people don't have a choice to be able to be tired of it. I don't. We all don't here. You know, at the end of the day is that we have to face several battles in our normal life outside of our jobs just existing. So I just think that what F1 and rightfully so are pretty much asking is that what do we do when Lewis goes? Because Lewis is by far bigger than all of the other racers. Who is going to encourage new people from different backgrounds to join? And if it doesn't happen, then you will lose, you know, you'll lose advertising, first of all, which I know they care about money a lot. And then obviously you're going to use viewership. You know, you have to, whether they like it or not, for the sport to grow, embrace, you know, change and then welcome in new people in.
What is the bigger thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
This is where we'll need to, well, this is where we're going to eventually see within the next maybe 5 years, maybe 3 to 5 years, there will be a sea of change when Lewis will finally break all the records he wants to break. We'll have nothing left to prove. And it will be really down to the next generation. Like, I think on a racing standpoint, I think we're going to be completely covered. There's amazing talent. Charles Leclerc will be back up there, hopefully. Max Verstappen will undoubtedly become a world champion before he knows it. So the landscape is definitely opening up. And look, this is like what Barcelona and the Spanish football world have to look for as well. They're going to have a life without Leo Messi, being the ultimate draw and the ultimate advert for that whole league, that whole club, that the tourism that relies on people that go to a city like Barcelona just to see a Messi play. And it'll be, I think, in a sense that racing will always happen. It will still be competitive racing F1, but rightly so, Dre, I think we have to hope and have our fingers crossed that there are going to be people that are going to really fly that flag for diversity, because it's needed. Yeah. It's much needed. Again, like we said, the racing is sorted, but I think there'll be a sea of transition. And eventually, I think F1 know what are very, very good now with the way they're set up to understand the current climate of the world and what is expected. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a global sort, man. Like, they represent so many countries. It's a lot to ask for. And I think we should, you know, take this moment to really, you know, shout out again. It's easy to highlight the people that bring a lot of negativity to the sport. But again, like you said, there are lots of amazing people that have been making the sport a much more better place, much more open-minded, being able to do this race as one campaign. To have, you know, guys like yourselves, Aaron and Steph, that give your time to make a podcast that talks about diversity. So I think we should all be encouraged by the way it's going, because it was a different landscape years and years and years ago. So
yeah,
I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic of the way things are going. I'm hoping there's change. So much is changing on the track, off the track. And I feel like, guys, we've brought some pretty good, some pretty tasty subjects. This is what it is.
but we must say, and I speak for myself and Matt, like, definitely, is that, you know, big up to F1 for everything that they've done. Before, as I said, before all of this stuff became effectively trendy or something you had to do. Please don't take away any of our access. I'm too used to corporate life and the food and the meals that we have. I can't build a tent or go into her, and I won't.
Hey guys, another weekend of racing coming up. This time it's another new track like Mugello was. This time it's in Portimão in Portugal. So here's five things I'm looking forward to and what you should look out for at the Formula One Heineken Portuguese Grand Prix. So the first thing is, we are officially in silly season again. It's gone a bit wild. Haas has officially announced that Roman Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen won't go ahead into 2021. There's also rumour that George Russell is potentially on the edge of losing his seat at Williams, thanks to Checo Perez potentially taking that seat. We don't know. We do, however, know that Hulk has performed quite well this season, and he is on standby again for Racing Point in case Lance Stroll or Checo Perez get COVID. So we might get some sort of clarification whether Hulk's going to get a drive again, where Checo's going, and what the hell is going on at Alfa Romeo, whether Giovinazzi's going to get his seat or whatever. We don't know whether there's Formula 2 drivers coming up, so we are officially silly in the season. So let's definitely keep an eye out for any announcements or any clarifications over the weekend. So the next thing is, Portimão is a new track to the F1 calendar. There's never been a race here. However, there has been some testing previously. So Hamilton tested there in 2009 with McLaren. George Russell also tested there in 2017. But Nicholas Latifi and Lando Norris have all driven there in their junior career. So we could see some confident youngsters coming up and challenging the old breed. People like Kimi Raikkonen never raced there. So we could see some spicy overtakes. So keep an eye out for some good driving. And the next thing, this track is lovingly nicknamed the roller coaster. That means there's basically no flat surface. This thing is up and down and undulating, and there's different braking zones all over the place. So it's going to be a difficult track to navigate. The big thing is braking zones. There's going to be a lot of braking zones going downhill, uphill, and also there's a lot of blind crested corners. So let's expect an FP1, FP2 that there might be a little bit of caution, but in the race, they've got to go gung-ho. So let's see what happens. But this isn't a flat circuit, and yeah, it's going to be a tough one to get used to. Next thing, Mercedes. They have the opportunity to clinch their 7th Constructors' World title if they get a 1-2 and they clear Red Bull by 40 points. Now, the likelihood of that is pretty slim, but obviously Albon was out of the race last week and Max got P2, but if Max can't do that, or if Albon can't do that because Max retires, there could be the opportunity to get a 40-point clearance. So let's look out for Mercedes really pushing. Their strategy is going to be on point. They're going to be gunning for that 7th Constructors title. Who doesn't want to seal it as early as possible? So yeah, Mercedes is going to be on form. And finally, upgrades. Red Bull and McLaren have both been putting a lot of new aero packages on their cars. They did this last weekend out, but the problem is FP1 and FP2 were both cancelled, so they didn't get as much runtime. We also saw that Lando was out last weekend and Carlos didn't exactly have the best race. With Albon out as well and Max bringing home P2, they didn't get as much balance with their cars to analyse data or anything like that. So we need to. They will be making sure this weekend that they're trying to run as much performance as they can and get as much data. Racing Point have also been bringing upgrades as well, but because of this track being an absolute roller coaster, it is high downforce. They do have a lot of corners. They've got different braking zones, so aero is going to be super important. It's not a Monza. It's definitely more like a Mugello. So keep an eye out on some good aero packages and see if anyone brings anything that's going to push them up the rankings. Keep an eye out for McLaren, because I think that nose is getting better.
And of course, it's Portimao, so we'll kick it off with you two. Who's going to win it? Is it going to be Lewis? Is there going to be any surprises? Are you guys in unison over this?
Who the hell knows? We've not been there.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, exactly. Who knows?
Probably be a Hamilton, just for, you know, just to mix things up a bit. But
Charles Leclerc was looking comfortable in P1. He's getting some good times in there when we started the show. So I'm not too sure. Now we're the TV is now. We've got some of the old classic content in F1 going on there. So for the P2, we should be in there. Dre, a big Bottas fan, the Bottas fan club. What were we saying?
You've got some of his fans inboxing me now.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Some of his fans.
Oh, God.
Leave him alone.
The Bottas battalion.
It's
Lord.
I mean, it's been tricky. It's been tricky for Bottas, hasn't it? So, who are you feeling?
Trolling is boring. I'll tell you, like, they've got to come up with something a bit better. But just as Steph said, like, no, we haven't been there before, so we have no idea. So we definitely go off of form, I'd say. Obviously, Hamilton is always going to be the favourite, but I've got a feeling that one of the mid-tier teams is going to do a lot better and maybe get second or third. So I mean, I'll put it out there. I think that I think that Pierre Gasly will come third.
Shocking out of wild card there.
He's got form, and you know, and I've seen him and I've been really impressed. And obviously every week I talk about him a little bit more. But I definitely would. I'll go with Bottas second as per usual. But I've got a feeling that Max might do something reckless. And then Pierre will be come third. That's what
I hope. Okay, all the predictions.
Any wild cards? Dre threw in a bit of a wild card there. So, Ariana, Steph.
Oh, I didn't even come prepared with a wild card.
No.
See?
Not me.
See?
I think it's time for
another level.
I think it's time for Red Bull to win.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. It's due, maybe. Yeah,
it's due. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's quite an undulating track, and you know, so aero will be important. And Ariana was saying to me the other day that she has come out and said that the banning of party boats has made the gap close up between Red Bull and Mercedes.
Yeah.
So, am I right in recognizing that Lance Stroll's back from the COVID mess?
He is back, but Hulkenberg is on standby.
Give it a Hulk. This is the thing. We chatted to F1 YouTuber Josh Revelle last week, and his bold prediction for the rest of the season was that he thinks that Stroll will actually come out on top over Perez by the end of the season on points. Perez has got the advantage at the moment, but you know, the pressure, it seems like Racing Point just cannot keep out the headlines. They want to be in the discussion all the time, and they've been causing a lot of to take out the headlines. And the pink Mercedes are properly in and around that. But look, guys, we have hit a lot of hot topics today. We're coming to the end of this episode. We've got a lot to look forward to at Portimao. Hot topics, very good, strong topics. We've got a lot to look forward to. We've got rumours being bombshells dropped in us by Ariana. It's all kicking off. Steph has been bringing us the bad news thanks to Petrov. Not your fault, but don't shoot the messenger. Of course, I will tee you up nicely this time, because last time we got ourselves into a little tangle here.
So, don't worry.
Ariana Barber and Steph Turner.
Yes.
What's coming up and where can we find you?
So take it away, Steph.
Apparently this is the part where we are supposed to promote our podcast, so don't worry. Wrote some notes.
Come on.
I didn't really. So yes, every Tuesday, tune in wherever you get your podcast. That's when we'll be dropping a new episode every week. So Driven by Diversity podcast. We've got some really cool guests coming up. Yesterday we recorded one with a girl called Brie Lynch, and she's actually the stunt double for Batwoman in the new Batwoman film, which is pretty awesome. And she was also in Black Panther as a stunt double. So that'll be coming up soon. Make sure to check that out wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, anywhere, it's on there.
Nicely done, Steph.
Driven by redemption. Redemption. If it wasn't a preparation, the bombshell in a headline here is driven by diversity. Has gone Hollywood. That's right. We've got superstars up in here. And again, what an exciting thing to look out for. Hit up on Tuesday, driven by diversity. Check out Verge magazine, check out Alternative F1 podcast, check out all our other shows. If you like American sports, if you're confused by that array of colors behind Dre, those are American sport jerseys. So check out the sports heads, check out the hurry up. Like I said, hit subscribe. It doesn't hurt to click that little button at the bottom. Be our friend and we'll be yours in return. This is the Alternative F1 podcast. Matt, Steph, Dre, Ariana, we are out.